Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. Sean Ross Sapp here with a name you know. You know her from WWE. You know her from TNA, from GCW. But now you're going to know her from What's the Best That Could Happen, my love letter to pro wrestling. It's available April 18th. It's available for pre-order now at Barnes & Noble for hardcover and Amazon for ebook. We have Steph DeLander. How you doing?
Hi. Wow, what an intro. You really got all the stats, huh?
I mean, it's my job. That's my job. I gotta.
If you don't know the details of my life, then what are you doing, Sean?
There you go. I mean, what I like is, you know, we're referring to you by your name, Steph DeLander, and it is more synonymous with your pro wrestling career than Persia is. How does that feel a few years after your WWE release to have people identify you with that instead of your WWE name?
It's cool. And it's interesting too, because when I first started teaming with Matt Cardona, he would always say like, Persia's dead, Zack Ryder's dead, like that's done. And for at the start, I was kind of like, yo, can you stop saying that? Because like, if I need to be Persia again, like I don't want to kill her. And then in 2 years have to be like, hey, but yeah. You know, like retrospectively looking back, it's kind of like, you know, like he had to have that acceptance that Zack Ryder was done and he's now Matt Cardona. And then I had to go through it myself and have that acceptance of like Persia is done and now I'm Steph DeLander. So yeah, it's funny. Like at first I was resistant to it just because it was like, you know, when I picked that name, I didn't think I would have that name for 1 year and then be back to Steph DeLander, you know? So letting go of that was kind of like letting go of my WWE career at that time. But now I'm like, yeah, it's pretty freaking cool that what I've done now so surpasses what I did at WWE.
Yeah, by far. I mean, like, not to shit on your WWE run. It's just all your biggest moments I remember were from outside WWE and since then. And one of them that I was excited to ask you about, AJ Francis putting you through a table. Yes. He's a lot of people don't realize the level of athlete of which AJ Francis is. Like, he is a former NFL player, very successful. As that's pitched to you, how is it brought to you? And how do you sort of respond to that and handle it?
I don't exactly know how it was pitched. I'm sure it was something along the lines of like, this is the idea that we have as long as you're comfortable with it. And I instantly was like, oh my God, that is the best idea ever. I'm so happy about this. Like, I'm stoked because I knew it would look awesome. The whole segment itself was like so ridiculous, right? Like there were so many layers to it that was so ridiculous, but I knew it would look awesome. I knew that like, I always call him Top Dollar, but I knew AJ Francis was, I'm like the only person ever that still calls him Top Dollar. I know AJ Francis, I knew he would make it look awesome and he would like push the shit out of it on socials. I would make it look awesome and I would push the shit out of it too. And Tina, you know what I mean? So I knew like it was going to be a good moment, but it was one of those things where like, I didn't, you know, I've only taken a couple choke slams. Like I'm huge when it comes to the women's division, right? So I'm usually the one given choke slams. So I don't, you know, I've maybe taken three in my career. But I knew how important it was to like do my end of it and get up there. And when we got backstage, everyone was like, oh my God, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. What are you talking about? And they were like, that looked so brutal. Like that, you got so high. And I was like, really? And then I watched it back and I was like,
yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. So like, I just felt like a decent, you know, I didn't realize how high I was until I watched it back. And I was like, oh, that's crazy, dude.
And unfortunately, like a lot of the momentum that was built up, like from that and some other things, you were sidelined with an injury. Is that what gave you the time, the opportunity to write the book that we're talking about today?
Yeah, pretty much. So I had the idea to write a book, I would say like halfway through last year, and maybe a little bit earlier. And my life is so crazy. I always do crazy stuff, and crazy stuff always just happens to me. And I always would jokingly be like, well, that's another chapter in the book. Well, that'll be another chapter in the book. And then I got to a point where I was like, wait, why don't I just write this book that I've been talking about the whole time? why don't I just do it? And so I was kind of thinking about it anyways. And then when I first got injured, like this was before I knew I had to have surgery and take a whole bunch of time off. But I just was like, what am I waiting for? Like, why do I have to wait on something when I can do it right now? And that's kind of being outside of WWE. I've really tried to capitalize on what are all the things that I can do that no one can tell me I can't do right now. You know, because when you're at a big company that has a whole bunch more say over what you can do, even if you do want to write a book, well, there's a whole bunch more people that have to approve things and say yes and say no. And it's a much longer, bigger process. Whereas right now, being independent, I can control whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. I can say whatever I want. So I was like, while I can do this and have no one tell me that I can't do this, I'm going to do it right now. So yeah, that was kind of the inspo. And then, yeah, just being injured, I was like, all right, now I got the time. I'm going to go crazy if I'm like sitting on my ass. So let's make this, you know, useful. And that's kind of how it happens.
So I remember asking Becky when she wrote her book, like, you know, sometimes you in your book, you bury some people. Sometimes you say some things that aren't so favorable as you're going through that, because everybody's the hero of their own story, obviously. Like, what goes through your mind as you get to maybe a not so pleasant period where maybe you got to point some fingers at some people?
There's certain stories where I haven't mentioned the names. People who are involved or people who know about it will kind of know. But I've also tried to be clinical in a sense of like, if I bury someone else, I'm also very quick to bury myself. You know what I mean? So I'll put my hand up and say that I did something wrong or I fucked something up. My mindset kind of writing it was like, all right, what I don't want to do is I don't want to say or do anything that's going to land me in really hot water with places that I want to work at. So that was important for me. I also didn't want to, like, it was important. Like, I didn't send the book to anyone until it was done, except for my manager who was helping me like organize it. Like, I read little snippets to Mance of like, hey, how do you think this sounds? Or what do you think about this? But like, I didn't send it to my family. I didn't send it to any friends. I didn't even tell anyone I was writing it. Like, none of my friends even knew until I had the book done and I sent them the snippet being like, hey, this mentions you. Let me know if you want to change anything. Because I wanted to make sure that it was authentically me and my story. And I didn't want to let other people's opinions change the book and change the story, because then I felt like, well, I'm writing this for me and for everyone else, but also for me. And I'm writing it from my perspective. So if I get too worried about upsetting or offending someone or making sure every single person that's mentioned is super happy and whatever else, then all of a sudden it's not my book anymore. So I was careful to not bury anyone too much, but at the same time, I also wasn't gonna like be so overthinking it that then it didn't end up being my words, you know?
So writing a book, obviously, I mean, that's an incredible undertaking. It makes you very vulnerable in that sense. And you're already in a vulnerable position. You're sidelined from your job with a very serious injury. Like, what was there an emotional roller coaster there? Or did this like give you something to really focus on during that time off?
I mean, there's always like emotional roller coasters when it comes to wrestling, and especially with injuries. I mean, the book was cool in a sense of like, I think it helped me because I felt like I was still doing something purposeful and I was using the time wisely and I wasn't just like sitting on my ass and, you know, bumming around. Like, I was like, okay, if I'm out, how do I make the most of this and like do something that can really further my career? And I might not have time again in the next few years to write this, so let's do it now. But as far as the actual process, like I made sure that like it went in waves. Like there was periods of time where I was really inspired and motivated and I sat down and just wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote. And there were times where there was weeks where I was like, I don't want to touch this. I don't want to look at it because I'm not feeling it. And I don't want to get in there and force write stuff just because I have this deadline in my head. Like I want to write it as it comes and I want to feel it. So it was definitely like, there were times where like talking about the vulnerability, like there's one particular story in there that like I had to step away from, like, I purposely left it to like the end. Cause I was like, first of all, I was like, I don't know if I want to touch on this or not.
Sure.
Like I was going back and forth. So I purposely left it till like towards the end. And then once I started writing, I kept having to like step away from it. Cause I was getting like too deep in again, cause it was obviously just bringing up a lot of stuff, but that too was like cathartic in a way. Cause it's like, this is something that I've never really spoken about. People don't know this about me. But I know there's also a whole bunch of other people that have been through the same thing that I'm sure if they see I've gone through this, I've dealt with it, and I'm being open about it, it might help one other person. And if that helps one other person, then like I'm okay with sitting here and feeling my feels for a bit and being vulnerable, you know, to help a fan. So it was like a cool process. For the most part, I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would.
So as we film this, it hasn't aired yet, but it will by the time that this is out. TNA Digital Media Championship. What a unique couple of months that was. First off, dare I ask, what was your reaction when PCO smashed it on GCW TV? Because I would imagine you were in one of the most unique positions because this is a person you've been tied to on TV for quite a while. Two places that you work, but you kind of hadn't been working because of the injury a little bit, and you're just watching all this unfold. And when I asked him, why did you do it? He goes, I just kind of thought it would be funny. He thought it'd be a cool moment.
Yeah.
What goes through your mind?
Well, and I've never really spoken about this, but yeah. I was at GCW when it happened. I was at Hammerstein, obviously, and I was actually in the crowd. And I was, were you there or did you just?
I wasn't there. But when I naturally, I'm going to ask Brett, I'm going to ask everybody. They were like, Steph was not too thrilled.
I was there and I was in the crowd and I was like, PCO, PC, that's my husband. Woo. And then when that happened, I was like, when I got backstage and I looked at Brett and I go, what have you done? I was like, what is going on? What is happening right now? And that my brain was like, a million thoughts racing. I didn't know if it was an angle. I didn't know if it was real. People, no one else knew. You know what I mean? But yeah, so I was not thrilled. And yeah, Brett knows that. And I spoke to, my next thought was, I don't know if I'm going to see PCO again as far as like, I don't know where he stands with TNA now. I don't know if I'm going to be back at GCW. Like, I don't know if we're going to cross paths again soon. But I want this man to know that I really enjoyed working with him. I really respect him. And like, if this is the last time that we're going to be in the same place, then I need to have this conversation with him right now. So I ran from where I was to like Gorilla, where he came back through to meet him. And I just spoke to him for a few minutes. And I was just basically what I just said to you. I was like, look, I absolutely loved working with you. I'm so glad we got to have the storyline that we had at TNA. You know, I don't really know what's going on right now, but I want you to know that like, I love and respect you as a performer. I'm very happy with how everything went. There's no ill will here. Like I want the best for you and I'm glad we got to work together. So I just wanted to have that, like, you know, I don't know where this goes from here, but I need him to know that I really loved working with him and whatever weirdness is going on between anyone or any companies or whatever, I'm just sitting here saying I loved working with you. So I'm glad that I at least got to have that moment. But yeah, at the time I was like, what?
Yeah. And like, despite, you know, what happened with the sledgehammer, like he's such a cool headed individual. Like I've in my numerous interviews with him and you know, sometimes he's liked stuff I've reported about him. Sometimes he's very much not liked it, but he's always, in my experience, been very respectful and cool headed and like, I always respected his approach in that regard. And the fact that he did this kind of just to pop himself. Also.
Oh, yeah. Even straight afterwards, I was like, I don't know what I'm about to walk into. I don't know what mood he's going to be like. I don't know what's going on. I walk around the corner. He's got the biggest smile on his face. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, as long as you feel okay, then I'm, you know, I just want the best for you. So.
And naturally with my job, like, I've always got to be cognizant of Brett Lauderdale trying to work me, you know, like that's just something that I have to keep in my mind. And like, oh, is this like a TNA GCW thing? And then everybody's like, no, bro, it's not. It's very much not. Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. Hims provides you with convenient and quality access to a range of hair loss treatments that work all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral spray, and serum treatments to find out what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/fightful. That's hims.com/fightful for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/fightful. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
But it became a you thing. Because I love the explanation. You getting the title in the divorce was, I thought, so a good. Brilliant way to move the title without moving the title. I thought that was genius.
Yeah, I did too. I had no idea what was going on. I like rang Tommy Dreamer and I was like, I don't know what belt is where. I don't know who has what. What are we doing now? Like, because obviously there's a plan for storylines and whatever else. And I was just like, what the fuck are we doing? And he was like, we're figuring it out. Don't worry. And it's just like it's such crazy poetic justice that like my on-screen husband having his moment is what led to my real life boyfriend coming into the mix in TNA. Like it was just such an awesome, like random passing the torch kind of moment of like, I thought this situation was going to be really, really bad for me, but it actually worked out really good. And I got a title and my boyfriend's now at TNA. So yeah, it worked out great for me. I was like, I kept joking to everyone. I was like, I'm just tagging boyfriends in and out my whole career. I'm like, I got Duke Hudson in the mix. I mean, Matt was never my boyfriend, but I got another male tag partner. Then I got PCO. Now I got Mans. I'm like, I don't know why this keeps happening, but like, it's a good story, I guess.
I mean, for the last, I'd say probably year, whenever people would send in Q&A and they go, who should companies bring in? Number one female to me was Maggie Lee. Number one male was Mance Warner. And TNA brought both of them in recently. How has that been working with Mance? Because like, listen, I have experienced it firsthand. Like when he is working, that man is so in the zone. To a level of which I have never experienced from anybody else. Thousands of wrestlers I've talked to, witnessed, interviewed. Nobody gets in the zone like Mance Warner.
Yeah. He's like an enigma. It's crazy. It's crazy. Like working with him is so awesome. I mean, getting to be on the road with your partner, just even out of storyline, is great. Being able to travel together and be together and whatever else. Creatively, where like both psychopaths in a sense, like, but it's such a different dynamic. Like me and Matt are crazy. me and Mance are crazy, but it's different dynamics with how we worked. But like for Mance and I, we're spending like, it'll take us like 4 hours to get through a movie because we're pausing it every 10 minutes being like, all right, so I reckon we can use this and we can do it like this and we can do it like that. And da 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 da. And I'm like, we need to write this down because like we've had so many stupid ideas in the last hour that like we don't remember them. So we're very like creative like that. I mean, there's definitely times where I'll be like, babe, I woke up at 10 minutes ago. I can't hear about WCW right now. I just can't. I don't want to. Please let me be. Because he is just so wrestling 24/7. And I am too. But he's just that little bit more. I would say that's the only thing is sometimes I have to be like, okay, I can't do wrestling right now. Or like wait till I go out and go to the gym and then you can watch wrestling or whatever else. But as far as working with him, you're right. Before he goes out for a match, he gets in this weird zone where he's so focused and anyone who gets in his way, he's not rude to them, but he can be so intimidating. Not to me, I'm not scared of him, but intimidating to people who don't know him that like, if he's about to go out for a match, like don't be around that man. Just let him do his ritual.
The entrance, especially like once he gets out there, like I know him, I'm friendly with him, I like him, but as he walked by me, I was like, I ain't touching that man. Like, I'm not going to bother.
He's intense.
Funny enough, like I remember I did my first in-person interviews, like really at StarCast 2019. I was so nervous. And as we were walking around to get interviews, I had never talked to Mance before. But I was like, you know what? I'll ask him because he'll interview himself. Like, yeah. I knew I didn't have to do any work. And it was only like 2 or 3 minutes, but it broke the ice for me doing on-camera stuff because – like I knew if he saw me struggling, he'd be able to carry himself. Like even then, 5, 6 years ago, he was that good. So I got to awkwardly ask about Gail Kim being fired. I'm a Gail Kim guy. Listen, my first finisher in wrestling was Eat Defeat. Did it way better than Gail Kim ever imagined, by the way, yeah. Like just to say, but how did you feel when you got this news? Because I know that she was responsible for a lot of people even being in that company.
Yeah. I mean, with wrestling, the way that it goes, as always, is people think that on the inside of a company, we get a whole bunch more notice or information about stuff. I found out when Twitter found out. So obviously a huge shock. You know what I mean? Gail has been instrumental in TNA for years and years and years and years, especially for the women. So I think it's just one of those situations where, like, personally for me, I can only have like hope and optimism that this isn't going to be a negative thing for especially the females at TNA. Like I know and have faith in people like Tommy and Hunter, like Delirious running creative and like a few other people within TNA that I think that we are going to be fine. But losing Gail definitely is a big blow for every, I mean, men and women, you know what I mean? Everyone loved her. So that was a very big shock for me. And I think from speaking to other people, everyone was definitely like blindsided by that for sure.
Steph, I want to ask you, do your fish have names?
No, they don't. But that's just because A, I have way too many, and B, if one ever dies, it's very hard to handle that. So no, for real, I have African cichlids who are like notoriously very, very aggressive and they do kill each other sometimes. So it's harder to handle that if they've all got cute little names. So I don't name them anymore.
What's on your wall?
I made a little wall of like some of my highlights. There's my podcast poster, which was on hiatus while I was writing the book. There's my PWI cover, posters from Halloween Havoc. A fan made that like Deathmatch Queen skull, which is so cool. This me and Mance in PWI, and then a few more like highlights from our careers.
Fantastic. Yeah. Here's a question I've always wondered, excluding Shaza McKenzie, why are Australian women so funny?
I think it's just the Australian humor. I think we just have it, which is funny that you say that because a lot of Americans don't understand what we're saying or what we're joking about. Man. So they think we're very rude and very blunt. And I'm like, no, that's just how we are.
I mean, like, you are deceptively funny. You've got a very dry sense of humor, which I can appreciate. But Shaza, hilarious. Harley, hilarious. The Iconics, both funny. I'm like, I don't know any Australian women that aren't funny.
I think it's just the way we were raised and the humor and the stuff that we were around. I don't know. That's all it is.
I can't remember who it was. It was like, well, you got to be funny when everything where you live can kill you. And I was kill like, you.
Yeah, like, that, okay. No, that too. It's yeah. When your life is on the line, you have to figure out how to laugh through it.
What is the hardest you have ever been hit in a wrestling ring?
Oh my God. Let me think. Oh, honestly, people aren't going to like this. Probably some of the athletes at the PC.
Okay.
There are some stiff people in the performance center. And I also think when it's coming at you at like 10 a.m. on a Wednesday in a training drill, yeah, that's when you're least expecting it. You're like, whoa, what are you doing? What are you on TV right now? Yeah, so I took some stiff shots at the PC, that's for sure.
And Jordan, I would wager,
pretty hard as well. She's pretty stiff. In a Jordan, Jordan. Like,
okay.
In a Jordan and Masha, like in a good way, like it lands. But yeah, I've taken a couple of hits from both of them, but as I said, in a good way.
I mean, Bully Ray said that Jordan hit him too hard recently.
Well,
so there you go.
But when you have that much muscle mass on you and not a shred of body fat, I mean, it's going to be tough. You know, you're either getting like, her arm is just like a mountain of muscle. So when yes, that hits you, I mean, you've got no hope.
What did you think of her, her platform shoes? She's almost as tall as you with those things. Did you see those?
She's definitely not anywhere near almost as tall as me, even in her Patrick Starr shoes. but no, I think I texted her. I said, bro, be careful. I'm like, you will break your ankle. And she was like, I actually
didn't. She bumped in them.
Like, I don't even think I could fall over if I wanted to. I'm like, bro, what are you doing?
She took a little bump in them. What I loved is you saw her have to pull on the guardrail to get up, though.
I know. Crazy scenes.
When are some times you wished you were shorter? Or are there times?
When I was like a child, because being a tall girl wasn't fun. So like when I was a kid, I wanted to be shorter. Oh, trying to buy like jumpsuits, like rompers, like a one piece, anything is hard when you're like almost 6 feet tall as a girl. Same with jeans, like shopping, like buying clothes is hard when you're tall. But honestly, like that's kind of it. Like for wrestling, it's definitely good for me to be taller. So there's not really any times anymore where I wish I was shorter.
As you wrote this book, obviously your career is nowhere near done. It's got to be in your mind, like, might be writing another one. Have you already put thought into writing another one?
Yeah, I'll definitely be doing a round two. Because there is so much stuff from my life that I'm like, I've already had so many thoughts of like, oh, I didn't write about that. I didn't write about that. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. Da, da, da. And I'm like, yeah, because there'll be round two. But again, it also depends on like, you know, when, who, how, what, whatever, like, you know, am I going to be working? If I'm working for WWE, that's a different conversation. If I'm working for AEW, that's a different conversation. If I'm still at TNA, you know what I mean? So like a decision like that also depends on what sort of contract I'm locked into at that time, you know?
It feels like the book came together very quickly. And I mean, that is honestly a benefit of technology and where we are today. Like you getting injured, deciding to write a book, now it's set, it's announced, we're promoting it, and the hardcover is out very soon. Like that has to be a lot. Is it overwhelming for you? Is it something that you were appropriately prepared for? How was that?
Kind of both. So like it felt like it took a long time to actually write it, but as I said, it's because I took plenty of periods of not even touching it for weeks. Yeah. But the final crunch time came together like really, really quickly because it was like, oh, we don't have a date. We don't have a deadline that I have to have this ready for. And then all of a sudden it was like, well, if we can get this done in the next couple of weeks, we can have them for Mania week. And that can be the first time that you have them in hardcover. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, okay, let's do this. So it very quickly went from like, we don't have a deadline to like, we have a really deadline really soon. And then the last things that we were kind of waiting for was like, we put it through editing, but then we're also waiting for like, cause Matt Cardona wrote my foreword. So then like waiting for Matt to write the foreword, getting the quotes on the back. Cause I got quotes from Drew McIntyre, Tommy Dreamer, Chelsea Green and Samoa Joe. So also like having to chase them up, not chase them up, but like asking people like, hey, can you do this? And can you do it within the next week? And they're like, hey, I'm on SmackDown and I'm in Europe, but you know what I mean? So it's like, I know that they did that, but you know what I mean? It's like little old me. It's like, hey, I need this now. Like that was stressful waiting for like getting all that stuff, like to tie it up in a little bow and for it to be done. And then also getting the designs for the covers and all of that. So like that stuff came together really quickly. But I'm also the kind of person that like, before I've even fully fleshed out a thought, I've done it or I've started it or I've sent the email or whatever else. So it doesn't surprise me that, you know, I did it within like less than a year because I mean, I've, as I said, for better or for worse, and it's definitely been a negative sometimes, but I have like half an idea and I've already started doing it. So it's just the way it goes.
I'm excited to check it out, guys. Make sure you all do as well. What's the best that could happen? My love letter to professional wrestling, available April 18th. It's available for pre-order whenever you're reading this or hearing this or watching this. Hardcover at Barnes & Noble. Amazon for ebook. It is available now. So check that out. Make sure you pre-order it. Steph, I want to thank you so much. It's always such a pleasure to see you and talk to you.
Thank you. You too.
Until next time, my friends, we're out. There are so many reasons to check out NordVPN.com/Fightful. Let's go through a ton of them. Works on all operating systems and devices, even your router. Protect yourself on public Wi-Fi. Shield your data from snoops and criminals. Add extra layers of digital security to your life with the Password Manager, the File Encryption Tool, the Threat Protection Pro. It's the fastest VPN in the world. They've got a global server network, 24/7 tech support. And if you're a wrestling fan, oh man, are you in for it? All of the programs that WWE runs, you can watch with one Netflix account with NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can get pay-per-views at a much more affordable price. This service pays for itself in the money that you are going to save. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.